This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scarf Bagara War. With me, Russ Johnson, I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Waggy. You okay, mate?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good.
Very good. We've got a few things
feeling to talk champion about. Still. Feeling champion still.
Still feeling champion. Love it. Champions again. Ole, ole, as it were. We've got loads to talk about still again tonight. I mean, I know it's the end of the season, but there's still... County is the gift that keeps on giving, as we know. So we've got plenty to talk about. We're going to talk about the Wrexham match. Is there a rivalry? Isn't there a rivalry? All that kind of stuff. And get everyone's opinion. We're going to be joined by Dave Marchbank from the Co-op very soon. He's not here yet. Don't know where he is. Sure we'll find out. And we'll talk about the season ticket prices. And we will talk about what we can look forward to over the summer and into next season. So, yeah, this is the Scarf Bagara War. There we go. Welcome, everybody. All the usual people are online giving us some good evening comments. JKB, Tom Katanak, I hope I got that right. Ian Dowden, County 83, Simon Lomas. Simon Lomas, hello. Welcome, Simon Lomas. Gazendo, as usual. Martin, the Boonab. And yeah, breaking news. County ladies are 1-0 up in their cup final. Excellent stuff.
Why did I think that I was on Thursday?
No, I knew it was tonight. Yeah, and that is it. They're at Nantwich, I think. I'm not sure they're playing Nantwich, but I'm pretty sure they're at Nantwich. And we'll bring you, I don't need to bring you the latest. Ian Dowden will let us know when, as the podcast goes along on this fine Wednesday evening, balmy Wednesday evening now, isn't it? I mean, it's bloody quite nice outside, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been lovely. It's been lovely all day. I've been out all day.
Have you? Doing what?
Gardening, washing cars, general chores.
Yeah. Washing cars, eh? Do you know, they're playing Runcorn Linnets at Nantwich. Cheers, everybody. So they're 2-0 up now, Gazendo says. Yeah, we'll talk about season tickets very shortly. Let's go straight into then the Wrexham match on Saturday. It's just me and Waggy for now. And we're going to get Dave Marchbank on as soon as he arrives. I hope he's not forgotten that he should be on tonight. I did ping him this morning and said, "You okay for tonight?" And he's put a thumbs up. Yep. So
that's all right then.
Yeah. I hope he's not forgotten. It's 8 o'clock and not some other time on the clock. So yeah, Wrexham on Saturday. What did you think? I mean, let's talk about the day first. We managed to get tickets really late, didn't we?
Yeah, very late on Friday night,
just through a couple of spares that became available. So thanking the ticket lords and the ticket gods for that, that we managed to get all of those. Then we met up, didn't we, in Wrexham after a drive down, spoke Welsh to a copper, and then went to the Myers Gwynn, didn't we? Well, I spoke Welsh to a copper. Was you with me then? Was you with...
No.
You weren't there. You missed my Welsh to the copper, did you?
Oh, well, that's just ruined the whole experience now. If only I'd have seen that, it'd have made the day so much better.
So we made our way into the Myers Gwynn. The Myers Gwynn, I think that's how you pronounce it. And that was quite good, wasn't it? That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were pretty much the only County fans in there. And I think, fortunately, we were talking to Tim from Fearless in Devotion. So I think that gave us a hall pass to allow us to be in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I did see one or two other County shirts. And when I went to the toilet, actually, obviously full of Wrexham fans, full of Wrexham men going into the men's toilet, as you would expect at a men's toilet. And an old guy came out dressed in blue and white, county scarf. And someone said something to him. It was good natured. They said something to him, and he went, "Well, we're both going up, aren't we? So that's all that matters." And a couple of people went, "Yeah, that's all that matters." And I'm thinking, "No, it's not." I was thinking that's all that matters. I wasn't at all thinking, "Yeah, but we've won the championship and you've not."
That's because we were behind enemy lines, so we were just being polite to them.
We were just being polite. Yes. But it's a nice place. It was good. It was a bit like a Foodie Friday on a match day, wasn't it? If you've ever been to Foodie Friday.
Yeah, there's quite a few different outside bars and stuff like that as well, wasn't there? So, yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was good. Nothing on our courtyard. Let's just be clear on that one.
Absolutely. Nothing at all.
No.
Outside profiteering.
JKB04, John says, Diane, John. It's all gobbledygook to you, isn't it, Waggy? Look at that.
Let's keep it English, shall we? It's a county podcast, not Wrexham one.
Gazendo said that he went to Plascoch, a few county were in there. That's where we said we were going to meet you first, but we went to the Myers Gwynn, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that's where we got dropped off. We got dropped off in there, and I think you say you was already in front of us. So,
yes. Well, that's it. Well, that's why when we were coming over towards you, aiming for the Plascoch, we spoke to some coppers and said, "We're aiming for this place. Where is it?" And they went, "Oh, your Welsh isn't very good, is it?" And then Dan, I think, said, "Well, he speaks Welsh." So I spoke a bit of Welsh to him and he was quite impressed. And he pointed us to the Myers Gwynn. But yeah, it was good. It was good. Then we walked to the match, didn't we? And we passed a camera crew that we spoke to.
Yes.
And as we were talking to the said camera crew.
Just as we'd finished talking to the said camera crew. Literally, we'd finished the sentence, looked up, and we heard the...
Oh, that's a really good impression. Do that again. You can be our sound guy. You can be our sound effects guy.
Can't do it now. I'm under pressure.
Of course, we
looked up to the sky, and there was Champions again.
Champions again. Ole, ole. So that was good. And the camera people that we were talking to, I know we just about finished, literally ignored us and pointed the camera to the sky, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which was good. So that was all good stuff. So on to the match then. I know you spoke about it in the Courtyard Club call, which was excellent, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd say it was, we were really, really good in the first half. We should have been 2 or 3 nil up. I think the first 5 minutes they came out the blocks. They had a couple of half chances, didn't they, that were errors from our side. Then we settled in, and I don't think that they could cope with us. I think Dan mentioned it on the club call, is that they weren't pressing us. They didn't they weren't pressing us from the front, and that gave us a lot of time to pick out passes and stuff. I think Sarr seen his, you know, seen his name in lights, didn't he, after the first goal? I think he should have probably squared it. But yeah, we should have definitely been 2 or 3 nil up, I think, in that first half, definitely. They started pressing a bit more, trying to play it over the top, didn't they? They caught us quite early on in the second half. Then the momentum was definitely with them. But I think, as you say, I was disappointed we lost, but I wasn't really arsed about losing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, Palmer's celebration in front of us, dick. I was quite impressed that Cannon didn't come over to us. He didn't even look at the County fans. He just went straight to the home end and did whatever celebration it was to them. So, but it was just typical. It was going to be Cannon. And as I don't know if we're allowed to say this or not, but certainly was of the opinion that I think it was a Hinchliffe mistake. I think he could have done better. Not necessarily a mistake, sorry. I think he could have done better to save that because he wasn't right on top of him. But whether or not we're allowed to say that about Hinchliffe, that's remains to be seen.
No, I think we'll get to that when we sort of summarise the squad pod, because that's good. The retain list is going to come out soon. Not that we're thinking for 1 minute that Hinchliffe's going to get let go, but we can definitely cover it. We'd be amiss not to. But Palmer from the start though. Even from the guard of honour, he made a very... What do you call it? It was almost like... Someone can think of the word I'm thinking of, but he turned away from the guard of honour as if he was doing
casual neglect. Casual neglect.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, yeah. Because he was trying to.
He forcibly moved his position so that he wasn't actually giving us a guard of honour.
Yeah. as if he was doing something else, as if he got something else to do. Then he turned around and did a lackluster thanks Phil Lloyd and petulant thanks Nick Ten, and treated us with disdain. Cheers Simon Lomas, in a like a bit of a clap. Okay, yeah. There was two on the other side that didn't, but Ollie Palmer. Then there was an incident in the first half where he feigned an injury to get the ball back, and he did.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to what Phil Lloyd has asked, thoughts on the referee.
Yes,
he definitely had a dragon tattoo.
yeah. So we'll probably talk about the ref, not to the ref, in a second. But so yeah, Ollie Palmer wound me up with the interview before as well. He sort of wound me up at the scene, didn't he?
It's just ridiculous. It's like, oh yeah, we're really fired up. We want to prove a point to them and show them up for all the disrespect that they're giving to us. It's like, all right, so you weren't arsed when we beat you 5-0 at our place earlier in the season. You know, it's like, it's been 2 years, mate. Get over it. He was, you know, Dave Challoner had a few shandies. He was in the middle of a pub with all the County fans singing it. So of course he's going to join in. So it was just like, they're so touchy, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're suddenly all touchy. You know, they can give it out and call us all the names under the sun, but as soon as we give it back to them a bit, or we've got the manager sings it, there's pictures of Sars at the Albert singing Fuck You Wrexham, we've gone and won the league. It's just like, well, so what if, I'm sure... And I think the best responses that I'd seen off a lot of Wrexham fans was, well, if it was the other way around, you wouldn't be seeing us doing it.
Oh, I bet you would.
Off.
You would. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are a sensitive lot.
Yeah.
As Phil Lloyd points out there. Yeah, and there was a bit of, let's talk about the evening in a second. Let's go chronologically, shall we? Yeah. So not in depth, not if you want to hear it in depth, please listen to the Courtyard Club call, which is available to everybody now because it is on a Wednesday morning. But yeah, so that happened. And I thought we were good value for the money. I was even involved in a bit of shit housery with their home fans, wasn't I? Because I was like, one step away from them.
We were right next to them, weren't they? Yeah. Right, and I was the away end.
Yeah. And I was shouting over to them, do you watch this every week? I mean, is this how you play every week? Because this is embarrassing. There were some passes as a play where they just hit it out. Like, if they wasn't under pressure, they just hit the ball out. And I don't think we've done that. We might have done that in a bad spell at Tranmere away, but not in any other match.
Bases. You might have one or two passes.
But they did about three or four. They did about three or four when we went, way. So yeah, I was disappointed with them first half, but then second half, that's when they, I wouldn't say schooled us or anything like that. God, they just had a bit more about them, didn't they?
They did, but again, Dan sort of mentioned it on the club call, Caught Your Club Call, was that it sort of coincided. I mean, they got the early goal in the second half, which obviously that helped them. It put them on a bit more of the front foot. But then it just seemed, it was like when Powell went off, we just seemed to lose a bit more a grip, a bit of control about it. And that allowed Cannon to come into the game. Because I don't really think he was in the game that much before 60 minutes. And then he took over, didn't he, and started bossing it.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. But Barry going off as well was a massive thing. I still don't know why he went off at half time. Like, was it precaution? I don't know.
Well, if you think all the build up to Barry coming back, Challoner has said it's dependent on Villa. It's dependent on Villa. So maybe they've put in to say he can only play 45 minutes. You know, whether that's coming on at half time or going off at half time. Because the last three or four games that he's started, he's literally has come off at half time every time, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So
yeah, you might be right, yeah. Just a nursing back in kind of thing.
Possibly, yeah. As I say, if there's not really a lot resting on the game, it's like, yeah, we want to give him game time, but we don't want to overwork him because it's coming to the end of the season. So he's got all summer to get himself properly back up to fitness and stuff.
Yeah.
And I love it that they schooled us in a 6-2 aggregate over two games. And it's like, it's the last game of the season. We're champions. The only thing that they sort of were playing for was second place, wasn't it?
Yeah. But
yeah. They schooled us. I'm like, well, if we'd have properly really had our foot on the gas and not been on the piss till Wednesday, then
it
would have been totally different. Different.
Absolutely. Si Lomas then says, this is a good one. What they don't realise is we probably had six of our best 11 out and Barry playing at 50%. They were full strength. Our patterns of play so much better than theirs, but they do carry a threat. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're not, you know, they got obviously second for nothing. Now they do carry a massive, massive threat. And they do play a particular way that's effective as well. You can't knock that, this parky ball. I was quite surprised at how they played in some of the in the triangles to get the second goal. Okay, let's talk about Hinchcliffe separately. But they did do some nice stuff, but nothing compared to what we were doing in the first half.
Yeah, but again, you think it was because it was Cannon that ran off Rico Richards, wasn't it? So again, you think if it had been Powell that had been doing there or Sars in that position, he didn't quite click what was happening. He didn't go with him, did he? But as you say, there's no, I'm not saying that it's a mistake or anything. It's just, that's just your football knowledge, isn't it? You say, again, he's only a young lad. So I'm not going to start calling him for that. It's just, that's the way it was. And the ball went through to him, went through to Cannon. And, you know, it was a good finish.
It was a good finish. I mean, he hit it well. He hit it well, didn't he?
He hit it well, yes.
But do we talk about Hinchcliffe and the goal and
are we allowed to?
Should we do a poll?
People going to turn off if we say that Hinchcliffe made a mistake or could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, from the goalkeepers' union, he's probably disappointed with it himself. Let's just say that because it wasn't. I don't think it went through a crowd of players. If I'm right, I've stood right behind it, and it was what a foot maybe a foot and a half to his right. So I think he would be disappointed in that. I can only think that the speed of the shot caught him out. It was hard. It was a hard shot. So it was a well struck shot. It's got to save it from that angle. So yeah. So Ian Dowden says if we do mention it, we get banned. We're all banned. I think that's yeah. Well, you've not been on X recently, have you? Someone said that.
I've come off X today. I've come off X this morning.
All right. So you did see that then.
So I've seen. Yeah, I've seen some of the replies to the podcast around the squad.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I have seen. Yeah. I've seen some of them.
Mainly positive.
Yeah, but as I say, at the end of the day, it's with these four individuals that are sat there and we're giving our own opinion of how we think next season will be. So the people that have commented, you give us your opinions and some of them will agree with, some of them we won't agree with. It's simple. It's human nature, isn't it? Mm. We're not the ones that are making the decisions. So anything that we've said, it's not as if, you know... It's not as if Chalvin or Wilson have watched that and gone, oh, hey, right, yeah, well, that's a good point. Now, yeah. he's out now.
Yeah.
But you put any four County fans into a room to talk about the squad retention list of who's staying, who's going and whatnot, it's going to be every single person's going to have a different opinion.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We're not saying we're ruling the roost or anything. Absolutely not. Clive Parkin, belated congratulations, fellas. Cheers, Clive. Congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, congratulations to you. Did Clive go to the parade and see them with the pub ashtray, displaying the pub ashtray that they'd won?
I'm sorry, he'll reply in the comments if he's still watching. expecting Donny to join us. Yeah, well, I think. Yeah, the smart money's in there.
Johnny with the run that they've been on, the momentum and everything. I'd have said 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'd have probably said Crawley because they were on a similar sort of run, but they've had a few blips, haven't they? So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And interesting to see who comes down from the Championship.
Yes. Because
there's still four teams that can possibly come down, isn't there?
So Huddersfield and... Rotherham are down mathematically. Huddersfield are as good as down, aren't they?
Yes.
Then there's
Birmingham on 47, Birmingham. Plymouth on 48, Chef Wednesday on 50, Blackburn on 50.
Right, so there's one of four can go down.
Yeah.
That can join them.
If Birmingham win and Blackburn get beat because they're both on -16 goal difference, then it'd be Blackburn that go down and Birmingham stay up. But yeah, it's... Blackburn are away at Leicester, so maybe they've turned up on the beach. They've gone to the beach because they won the championship. Yeah. They won the league, didn't they?
Monday. Beat Preston, didn't they? Monday night they beat Preston. Ipswich beat Coventry last night 2-1. So yeah, all to play for. Well, we could talk about that. Do we know the fixtures? Can you get the fixtures up while I?
Blackburn away at Leicester. Chef Wednesday are away at Sunderland, who are currently 15th and got nothing to play for. But Chef Wednesday have got -26 goal difference. Plymouth are at home to Hull. Hull are currently 8th and they're 2 points outside of the playoffs, with West Brom are just in the playoffs. And then Birmingham are at home to Norwich, who are currently in 5th.
They've guaranteed playoffs, haven't they? Norwich.
So there's a very slim chance. There's got to be something like a 9-goal swing if they get beat, and if it would just say Hull win.
So right.
It's they need to guarantee playoffs with at least a point mathematically.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
So I think who does everybody want? Who does everybody want?
Ooh.
Put in your comments who do you want to come down. So we've got Rotherham and Huddersfield already, pretty nice ones. Yorkshire, we've got some big ones potentially next season, I think, as well. We have anyway. Exeter.
I think for me personally, I'd have any of them apart from Plymouth because that's had a long away day.
Yeah,
I went to Chef Wednesday last year, but it was League Cup first round, wasn't it? So
yeah.
it's not the full-on Hillsborough atmosphere. The
experience.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I'd like to see that. Blackburn, that's fairly local. We get a decent following going to them. That'd be a good one. And Birmingham as well. You know, Birmingham are a big side. So it's any of those three.
Yeah, I mean, the comments are the same. So Blackburn would be ace. Birmingham, Huddersfield, Rotherham. Blackburn would be a direct train journey. Right, Dave's in the background. Should we get him out?
Let's get him out.
So, welcome to the podcast, Dave Marchbank of the Stockport County Supporters Cooperative.
Running Armstrong, played in the game, and a superb goal, and it's Connolly who scored it.
Good evening, Dave.
Sorry about the apologies for the wait alive. Well, I'm still getting over the celebrating, so.
We'll let you off. I thought you were still driving back.
what a fantastic day, wasn't it, Sunday? Did you go to the... What a great day. Absolutely marvellous.
Yeah, the parade was absolutely superb.
It was.
I wasn't gonna stay for them getting all the players out onto the pitch, but I'm glad I did because there was some absolutely class entrances from the players.
It was. I got up Sunday morning, and obviously the weather was terrible, you know, bouncing down, and I thought, oh no, but it actually brightened up quite nicely, didn't it? And yeah. There was a huge amount of people there, which was just it was just. The noise was incredible and all the flares. It was like, whoa, this is just amazing. But yeah, it was superb. Superb. So pleased.
Yeah, Hatters 83 did well with carrying swinging the flags all the way up in front of the bus, and the drummers, I think they did a good job of keeping that going.
Absolutely. It was incredible. Well, it was a very fitting way to the end of the season, I must admit. Shame we got beat by Wrexham, but I think most county fans will soon have put that to bed, won't they, when you consider.
Yeah, we've been talking about it. We basically said, you know, disappointed to lose, but not arsed.
No, got over it very very quickly. Absolutely, it was a wonderful season.
Yeah, well, you say not arsed. I mean, I spent most of my Saturday evening bouncing back Twitter accounts on Wrexham Twitter accounts on the old X. In the evening, just absolute nightmare. A lot of them.
Fortunately, my phone died, so I stayed in Liverpool and had a few beers, and then I came home forgetting that Everton were on the late kickoff, so literally I got in the taxi from Liverpool City Centre to come back at whatever it was, 8 o'clock or whatever, and the taxi driver went. I can't get you to your house, mate. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're a taxi. And he went, no, all the roads are closed because Everton are finishing shortly. And literally he dropped me off on the main road, which is like about a quarter of a mile from my house, as Everton had 5 minutes before and kicked everybody out. So I just had a wave of Everton fans. So I was just like, right. Took my coat off and my county training shirt, training top on, and just waltzed through the middle of them all.
Fantastic. I was talking to somebody I work with, and they were saying that they're from Macclesfield, and they came up to Stockport for something, didn't realise about the parade, and basically they were in the traffic as they were stopping it, and he sort of said, well, I'm just winded down, and said, go on, let me through. So he said, right, you're the last one, and he managed to sneak through, so had a bit of a lucky escape. He said he couldn't believe the amount of people that were there. I said, oh, it was a huge amount of people. But, yeah, it's like you say, it must be a bit of a nightmare for if you're stuck in the traffic and you're seeing you don't often see the A6 closed, do you?
No.
Thing. So,
am I right in thinking as well, looking at the pictures, because I'll be honest with everybody, I couldn't go to the parade on Sunday.
Right.
I couldn't because I was laid up. With an ailment, and I couldn't get off the floor. Anyway, that's by the by.
Some hangover that.
It wasn't a hangover, mate. And it takes a lot for me not to go to that. But anyway, the pictures, there was loads more there than there was for 96, 97, 2007, 2008, 2019, 2022. Am I right in saying that? There was just like loads more.
It seemed that way.
I mean, it's one of those things, it's perhaps difficult to prove, but when, you know, I went to the other ones, it certainly, I mean, and I suppose if you actually look at, you know, previous ones, certainly the last couple, obviously, when we were coming out up from non-league, the crowds were decent by the non-league standard, but they're not like at the capacity gates that we've been getting recently. And it sort of feels to me like there's just a new sort of found interest in the football club, and everybody wants to be part of it. And I think you get a feel for it, like when you're trying to get away tickets and stuff like that. Because even as a season ticket holder, getting a ticket for an away match was never a problem. Now, you know, have you been to 15 games and this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a minute. 15 away well, actually, funny story was, obviously, one of the games I went to was Nottingham. I went for a couple of days and then it got called off. But because I was meeting some friends there, they bought the tickets so we could all be sat together. So even though I went, the game got called off, and it didn't get counted as an away match for me because it was on somebody else had bought the ticket. So that didn't help. But I think it's a lovely problem to have in some ways because like you say now, if you want to get tickets for Eddsley Park or even for, you know, maybe it won't be quite as bad in the first division because we've got. Generally, there's some bigger clubs, isn't there, in it?
Yeah.
So we might get, you could perhaps expect slightly more, a bigger away allocation of tickets. But certainly, you know, if you want tickets for a county match at the moment, you've got to be on the ball, haven't you? You know, you can't hang about too much. And I think it's a great, because I mean, the last, you know, the attendances last season in the full houses, it was just makes for a fantastic atmosphere. And it was funny actually because Wiggy was saying about when one of my mates, he had some friends, we've got some friends that he used to work with, he's retired now, and one of them's a Liverpool fan, and he came over from Liverpool, and after we met him before the game and had a few pints with him, and then we met him after the game in the pub, and he says, I couldn't believe the atmosphere. He said the atmosphere was electric, and you know, he's raving about it. He said, right, well, I said, come back next season. I said, I'm definitely coming back. So it was like, and that's a Liverpool fan, you know, from Liverpool, not just a local Liverpool fan, if you like. He was somebody who's from Liverpool, works in, you know, lives in Liverpool, works in Liverpool, or used to work in Liverpool, and we're raving about the atmosphere. He thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
really good to see.
Chris Crowther says here, I think some City United fans joined the parade, saw one guy United shirt. Yeah, I mean, I saw pictures on Facebook of people I know from Brinny who they're United fans. They're all United fans growing up, but they've obviously come to the parade. Maybe. I just hope that we can get some of them back and they become sticky and loyal, you know, rather than maybe just, you know, just coming to the odd game or whatever. Because that's what we wanted. It just looked like the whole town had come together.
Well, that's the way it felt to me. And certainly, you know, I got there quite early, and it was just to see everybody coming out and sharing the you know, the what was a fantastic occasion, it has to be said. And all, you know, on the bus, they had all the DJ and the music and everything, and it just made for an absolute the buzz was incredible. It really was. It was special. Of course, obviously, nowadays, you know, like inside the ground, you're not allowed the smoke bombs and flares, but there was the air was blue. You look around and think, well, the always walk over there looks like a Smurf because he's
Do you know what, though, on the pictures, official or otherwise, it all looked a bit purple to me. Either I'm going colorblind or there's like a purple tinge and not the blue that we see on the pictures. I don't know. Maybe
I've not seen those photographs, but certainly on the day, everything
blue.
Looked, yeah,
blue.
Really blue.
Yeah, definitely blue.
Yeah, very vivid blue. It was terrific. It was excellent.
Ian Dowden says that according to the police, it was 16,000 to 20,000 there.
Wow. Yeah, and it felt like that kind of, but it's always different. You know, I kind of, when you're in Edgeley Park and you've got a rough idea of what the stands hold, so you can usually predict within a reasonable. But when there's something like the parade, it's so difficult to actually estimate it because. Yeah. But there was a lot of people about, this huge amount.
I think it was the pictures when the bus had pulled up, like directly in front of the ground, and you've seen them take picture all the way down. So yeah. It was all the way back to the end of the road. It was just chocker full of people. And then they took a picture the other way, wasn't it? And it went all the way past the car park and stuff.
It was literally packed from the town hall to Wesley Park. Now, yeah. Fair enough, I would say that, you know, obviously some people were like going ahead and caught, you know, taking the shortcuts to try and. So there's some people, you know, would be at one point, at a certain point in the progression, and certainly further on, they'd be there again. But yeah, there were huge crowds, and it was a fitting way end to the season. And you know, it just feels great being back in, you know, Division One next season. And like you said, you were talking about before, I'm hoping Sheffield Wednesday come down because Sheffield's a great, great city, and they're a big club. Let's be honest about it.
Massive,
and that
club.
You know, yeah. That's what you want in it. When you know, you want the rewards for getting in the division to play the bigger clubs. But like you say, even if Blackburn were to come down, you know, be a big game for us, and some really tasty games to look forward to. And I think the obviously with the club's ambition and the fact that we're looking at redeveloping Edgeley Park as well. I mean. I think it'd be great once we get to a situation where if the railway ends redeveloped and we can get 10,000 plus of our own supporters in, it, you know, that's quite an important milestone, I think, when you're looking at gates, isn't it? And there's no reason we can't do that and certainly start getting gates 12, 13, 14,000 or whatever it's going to be when the railway ends redeveloped.
The only thing with that side that sort of worries me is if we have a bit of a something that we've not had for like basically like 4 or 5 years is an average season. You know what I mean? Yeah. You look at like Leighton Orient, Northampton and Shrewsbury. Stevenage. You know, they all sort of, well, Stevenage finished 9th, Orient finished 11th and Northampton finished 14th in the end. If we sort of around that sort of mid park, which is I think where we want to be, where we should be, you know, to say consolidate and then start building on it again, whether or not we'll start losing some of these day trippers if we're, you know, winning one game, losing a game, that type of thing. If we start,
I think it's a fair point, but having said that, like you say, the other side of the coin is we've got some bigger clubs that, you know, will turn out for. So if we're playing Bolton, you know, I think regardless of where County are in the division, Edgeley Park's going to be full. They're not going to... Now, like you say, perhaps for some of the other games, you know, there are clubs in the first division that aren't huge. And, you know, that's a possibility. But it just feels like at the moment, you know, everything feels right, doesn't it, to me?
Yeah.
Mm.
I do apologise again for being... You know, popping on a little bit late, but I did miss some of the. Did you see the announcements regarding the season tickets?
So before we jump onto the, we're going to talk about that next. So you're right, you're in the right ballpark there. We've covered Wrexham, then we did a bit about fixtures and things. So let's do the season tickets next. Before we do that, can everybody like and subscribe if you haven't already? I've got to get that in just to get the numbers up. So please do that. We're on 11 likes at the minute. And if you're listening to us on an audio podcast, please do rate and review, especially on Apple and Spotify. That would be great. I think the ladies are 4-0 up now, by the way.
Wow.
Against Runcorn at Nantwich. Not had any more things come through for that. Just one final thing before we do get onto season tickets. And I know we covered it briefly when we were talking about Wrexham, but thoughts on the ref against Wrexham? Just a couple of sentences.
he should have been wearing red. He was very, very influenced by the home crowd, wasn't he?
It seemed that way.
Yeah, at first, I think he let quite a bit go because there was a few times with Pye and Horsfall and Mullen were sort of manhandling each other, and he just sort of like let it go. And you think, all right, okay, it's going to be that type of game. And then all of a sudden, he started giving free kicks to Mullen and silly little things like the Paddy Madden yellow card in the second half. Yeah. When the ball was going out, and he just sort of come to the player and stuff like that, whether he's just giving him a little nudge, but it wasn't a yellow card. And it just seemed the decisions weren't, it just seemed to be very heavily influenced by the home crowd.
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of occasions where there was a coming together, and away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
I maybe had my blue tinted glasses on or something, but I was thinking, all right, it's blown. That's a free kick for us. It's got to be based on what I've just seen. And then he'd go, that Wrexham's way, and you're like, what?
But then as we sort of mentioned before, the Ollie Palmer where he faked an injury. And he gave them the ball.
Yeah.
He's like, well, no, surely it should be ours. I thought that we had possession at that time when he went down and the referee pulled it back. Well, then he gave them back the ball. So, no, I don't think he was very good. But I think it was Dan saying that he's refereed quite a few championship games this year.
Yeah.
So is that a case of we're getting a championship referee for the occasion because it's County versus Wrexham, or is it because he's been shit and he's just been relegated down the pyramid? You've got to look at it both ways, haven't you?
Yeah.
We'll find out next season, won't we?
Yeah, next season, aren't we? He'll come down, we've gone up.
Now he'll be repping us for the first game away at Wrexham.
So let's move on. We've mentioned the Red Welsh side a lot already, so let's cut that. Season tickets then. I've done a bit of a quick poll to the live watchers. And 94% agree that they are happy with the season ticket prices. Discuss.
Yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, the co-op had done quite a bit of research, and basically we'd done an in-depth analysis on both all the first division teams and the second division teams. Obviously, this was at the point before we knew which division we were going to be in.
Yeah.
What that sort of shown us was that there was the average difference between the second division prices and the first division was £1. And we'd had some conversations with the club, asking them to take into account the economic situation and just be mindful that, you know, because I think, Waggy, you touched on it before. So for me, it's the we've got the momentum. There's a massive interest in County. Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
And,
research when you're saying it was only, sorry to interrupt, when you say it's only like £1 extra, is that for the lowest price tickets you can buy, like lowest price season ticket, or is that an average for the club?
No, it was a pound dearer for the first division game on average. Than it was
right,
for,
okay.
As in, if the average was for the second division, let's say, for instance, it was £20, the average for the first division was £21.
Right, so that's on the match day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. I get you.
So obviously, we had the conversations and asked them to, you know, be mindful. And I think they contacted us yesterday, spoke to Tom Mahan, and we discussed what had been proposed. And to me, that felt like it was within what we was hoping. The, you know, we thought that was equitable and reasonable. And, you know, I think they've listened. And obviously, we all have to acknowledge that, you know, we want to have a competitive budget in the first division, and we think that this is a fair way of going about it. You know, the rises, I don't think we should put too many people off, and we have to accept that we're playing in a higher division. Yeah. And actually, I think in the grand scheme of things, considering that, you know, there's a cost of living rise and then we're playing in a higher division, I think they've got it pretty much right. And, you know, yeah. I think the majority of supporters will acknowledge that it's not an easy balancing act. And obviously, we've got some very ambitious plans for Edgeley Park and the redevelopment of it. And I think it's credit to the club. They've always, when we've had meetings with them, they've always, they've never mentioned anything about potentially looking at other options away from Edgeley Park. And that was, you know, for me, that was credit to them, because I think the vast majority of supporters think Edgeley Park is very, very special. And, you know, it's not just us that think that. Some of the other supporters of other clubs think that as well when they come to visit. I actually had a guy come over from America who's writing a book on football, and he actually came over on the Easter bank holiday weekend, and he went to see one of the Scottish games. He went to Arbroath in Scotland. Then on the Friday, he went down and watched County at Forest Green. He went to City on the Sunday, and then he came to the Wimbledon match, and I met the guy beforehand and went for a drink with him afterwards. And I've been in touch with him ever since, and he's going to be doing an article on Stockport in his book. And he's actually said that he wants to come back. So we're making impacts with people that, you know, it's good to make impacts on. And certainly this guy he's apparently, from what he was saying, was like, you know, the situation in American football is different and they don't have relegation and things. So he's realised that actually promotion and relegation from the... And he's, you know, we've seen clubs like Luton who have actually fallen out of the league and then they've managed to come back, and not only come back but get back into the top flight. It's quite inspirational what they've actually achieved. And, you know, they're probably a club in a similar size of ourselves in some respects. And you look at what they've done. So he wants to write a book. He's actually writing the book about that. But come the summertime, the chapter that obviously I'm interested in is what he's going to write about County. And as I say, he enjoyed it that much, he's already talking about coming back next season.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, we are making friends in different places. So as a podcast, we've been contacted by Svenska Fans, which is Sweden's leading football website for articles, and they haven't got a Stockport, they haven't got a County correspondent until now. So a chap has taken it on and contacted us to say, can we talk on a regular basis to do articles for this Swedish football website, which is fantastic, isn't it, as well? So
yeah, absolutely, it's really putting us on the map, isn't it? And, you know,
yeah,
not because things are being done right, and I think everybody approves of the way the club's, you know, the efforts that the club are making. And as I say, I think they've hopefully got the pricing right, and I think Edgeley Park will be full to the rafters next season. And hopefully,
yeah,
I totally get what you say, Waggy, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to I come over as being, there's nothing to worry about. We're going to get massive gates all season. But this, you know, we've got a good team. If we recruit right and get one or two players, you know, we hopefully will hold our own in the division and give a good account.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't being pessimistic. I'm just wondering whether or not that'd be the case. But I mean, from my point of view, I think most County fans would be very happy with finishing 10th, well, even, you know, finishing 17th or whatever, 20th or whatever, to stay in the league. But yeah, I think that when you listen to Challenger and you listen to the staff and people like that, they're looking to be pushing for the playoffs. You know, they're looking to be there or thereabouts for that. And then the thing, and I think it was the same last season, was that I'd have been happy finishing mid-table. But then as the season grew and it became more obvious that we were pushing for playoffs and we had that slim chance of automatics and stuff, then, you know, suddenly, you start building your hopes up and getting, you know, higher and higher with your hopes. So hopefully that'll be the way, is that every County fan is looking maybe pessimistically saying, you know, 10th to 12th is where we want to finish. But if we're actually pushing for 7th, then you'd be right up for it.
Yeah, it's tempering the expectation, and I totally get that. But, you know, on the flip side, we've seen, you know, I look at it and think, well, actually, this season we've had two players that have scored 20 goals, Tanto and Paddy, and you've got two players who can score that amount of goals. You know, it's giving you a good foothold in any game, innit? You know, like, and I think for me the exciting thing is like, I thought when Tanto came, you could see, I mean, he's always had this electric pace, but sometimes his finishing wasn't there, was it? You know?
Yeah.
Where this season, when Tanto had a chance, you're thinking he's gonna score. And
he'll only get better as well, won't he?
Yeah.
Well, this is my point. You know, Tanto's still quite a young player. He's had a great season, he's improved dramatically. And I don't see any reason why that can't continue. You know, if you've got the pace, you've got the pace, and that frightens defenders. You know, once they know that somebody has got that electric pace, it's like, oh, I'm going to win it. I've got to be careful. But yeah, he's improved. And I think he can, you know, we've got, with the right support and coaching, he can carry on continuing to improve. And, you know, so you look at the back, you know, with Fraser and Ben at the back behind him, you know, really good seasons for both of them. And obviously, Ben won not only the supporters player of the season, but also the players player of the season. And I think what an accolade that is for a...
And he got the golden glove as well.
Absolutely. Tremendous season. And again, so you know, you've got goals at one end and then you know, you're not conceding a huge amount at the other end. And I think the other thing that was evident this season was the size of the squad. Because and I think it was needed, because obviously, I suppose injuries are part and parcel of the game, but the amount of injuries we had to key players, and not just injuries that kept people out for sometimes 1 or 2 weeks, but for, you know, serious, I mean, to have a player stretched off and taken straight to hospital twice in one season, just mind-blowing. But, you know, fortunately, we had the strength of the squad to keep going and find ways to win. And
definitely showed the strength of the squad, didn't it? You say those players stepped up, and it was just like, as you say, you think of the players that have not played for the last, well, even the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, you like to collar. Collar's like instrumental in our team. Crowsdale has been instrumental in our team, and he's hardly played. So, as you say, it's not as if it's fringe players or players are on the verge. It's like, you know, top end, the real, you know, first 11 players that we've had out pretty much all season. I don't think we've got a full strength team out, have we? I don't think maybe one game.
Yeah, it's been a season, like you say, credit to the players to finish the season as strongly as they did and end up as champions as soon as we did. Because like you say, when you actually look at what was up, we were up against, then, you know, I acknowledge that one thing Dave Challoner doesn't do is make excuses. Because
no, he doesn't. No, but he does it in the right way as well, doesn't he?
He does. He
doesn't make excuses, doesn't throw players under the bus or anything like that. Collectively, he might say, they've got to show me. He said it a lot, hasn't he, this season? They've got to show me they want to be in the first team. When they get there, they've got to do it on the pitch. They've got to show me, you know, that kind of thing. But he never names and shames people, does he? I don't think. He might have maybe one. I don't remember it, but...
I think he did it Tranmere, didn't he? Did it after Tranmere.
Tranmere was a bad day at the office, wasn't it?
It was a very bad day at the office. And yes. he didn't necessarily say a specific name.
Right. But collectively. Yeah.
He singled out Bennett, didn't he?
Was it like guess who? He doesn't wear glasses. Okay, he's got black hair.
Yeah. If you're a young player coming into the man's game and you want to carry on playing for in the man's game, then you've got to step up and you've got to be counted when you're supposed to be. It was something along them lines. So it's like who's the young player that's coming to the team today?
It's like when you're doing an anonymous survey, isn't it?
I think the other thing that is the amount that, for me, Dave Challoner's developed this season.
Yeah.
Because the biggest criticism, and I think a lot of people had this last year, was that we only had plan A. We didn't have a plan B, plan C. We didn't know how to change it. When Wharton got injured, it was like, oh, what do we do now?
Yeah.
We can't, but... You look at the beginning of this season when Wharton came back, it was like, well, how do we play with Wharton now rather than how do we play without him? You know, and we always seem to have, you know, the amount of times on the courtyard club call, it's just like, well, Fop Mob says we're starting with a 3-5-2, but was we actually starting 3-5-2? Well, no, it looked like we had four at the back and we were doing this. And it's just like the amount that you can see him changing the personnel or changing the personnel on the pitch in different positions just to counteract how the team's playing against us.
Well, this is where real life doesn't imitate art, because people probably play FIFA, don't they? And they play Football Manager. They might have even, you know, unless you've actually coached or played the game to a high level, you probably don't know. But people say, "Oh, we're playing a 3-5-2 today, or a 4-3-3, or whatever." I interviewed Charlie a couple of years ago at the King's Tap. And I'm pretty sure he said then, and it's recorded, you can watch the video. It's different because as soon as you start the game, people wander, people need to be moved left and right. You're in possession, you're out of possession, you're in transition. It's never like a 4-3-3. It's always developing as the game goes on and things like that. I mean, I know generally speaking, there are formations and shapes and things, but I don't think it's just...
He's not got a favoured... formation. He said that, I remember at the King's Tab, he said it's not a case of having a favoured formation or how we want to play. It's you've got to play with the ball and without the ball. And I think we've seen that a lot this season, as you say. I think you've seen, certainly with Lemonet Evans playing right wing back, is that when we've got the ball, he's a right winger. And then, you know, the likes of, like, say, Noel, Horse, Pye and Torre come across as a back four and he's away. And then if Torre's going, then they slot round the other way. And then if we're defending, you know, he drops back in. So, I think the development of Challoner has been
really good. A really good point. Because, like you say, it's not just about it's about having that seamless transition of if one of our players is moving forward, like Evans. And I thought when Evans came back from Wimbledon, I think he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
Good scorer. You know, like you say, very, very flexible, but it's that seamless transition, because one player's going forward and somebody else is covering them at the back, because, you know, sometimes you lose the ball and all of a sudden, but we're not like found wanting in defence when those happens. And that didn't just happen. It's players understanding what the roles are and what they've got to do and where they've got to be. I think you're right. I think Dave Challoner deserves a huge amount of credit for that, because he's proved it, hasn't he? You know, I mean, you only have to look at where we are in a fantastic effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're pushing on for time here. Before we get on to getting Rezzers, Do you want to, Dave, just going to give us a quick update on the anything from the supporters co-op that's on your mind?
Yes, there's a couple of things. Obviously, one of the big things we want to do is try and get some more people involved at the board level. We've spoke about how we're going to do it and what we might be able to do to try and encourage people. And one of the things we are looking at and trialing is holding a lot more of our meetings online, which we feel might encourage some people that don't live as locally to Stockport. Because obviously, like you say, we touched on it before, we've got a lot of fans that live outside of Stockport.
Yeah.
Or the far sides of Stockport, you know. So, and obviously with technology nowadays, and the, you know, we've been trialing it, and I think up to now it's been working reasonably well. So one of the things we want to do is encourage more people to get involved, so we represent, you know, with a bigger representative of our supporters. We're looking at potentially building up more a team to work on charity events, because we want to work with more charities if it's all possible. So we've got some great links with the Wellspring and some really good charities who do some amazing work in and around Stockport, but we'd like to build on that and maybe you know, the only way we can realistically do it is in getting more people involved. I would like people to think, well, actually, even if they're not maybe local, you know, consider contacting us. And as I say, there may be some obviously times when we might have to meet in person, but I'm sort of the opinion that if we look to, instead of looking for problems, let's look for solutions. You know, if we have to have meetings, it might be that we can work around that, and we can maybe look at holding a meeting not just in Stockport but somewhere else if it works for somebody individually, and we'll look to work around all the potential issues. So I'd say, if you know, if you want to be involved, you got some ideas, get in touch.
Good stuff now, right?
Just the other things I wanted to touch on, obviously, yep, we're pushing hard to get some events organised. There's been one or two things in the background that haven't been helping. Was hoping to, one of the things, there was, I want to be careful what I say, but we're looking at trying to get our next manager an event with Jim. That's something that Jim indicated he'd be interested in doing. So I think he's sort of, his position was, can we get the season out of the way and then we'll discuss it. So once we get information about that, we'll be looking at clarifying some events, and obviously we'll work with you, Russ, on that, and give everybody a chance to come to some of our events. We're also looking at a couple of things like putting some reruns together of some of our old games of when we got promotion previously. Scunthorpe game is one that springs to mind that has been, we believe we can get the footage of the game, so pre-match interviews, post-match interviews, and we're looking at just saying, well, we'll do an event and, you know, come along and chance to just have a social and we'll watch the game and, you know, chew the fat a little bit and things like this. So we are trying to get all this stuff together. It takes a little bit of it sometimes doesn't go smoothly as what you'd like it to, but we're working on it behind the scenes, so hopefully we'll be able to announce something pretty soon. So the heads up there, Ross.
So watch this space. Anything that does get announced, we'll announce it on this podcast as well, and we'll do the usual. We've got some things that we want to work together as well on. So when we've done that, we can get those announced. Excellent stuff. Right? Shall we? I would say play getting the rezzers then, but it's not play, is it? Should we just do getting the rezzers? Well,
yeah. Can I go first?
Yeah, wait, just 1 minute. Got to play the title screen.
Rezzers. Get in the rezzers. Get in the rezzers.
I'm not having that.
Get in the rezzers. Oh, get it, Rezzers.
We do need to change that because obviously Nick's charging me for every time I use that 10p. I'll be using too much. Dave Wright says the ladies are winning 6-0 now. So yes, I think that's in the bag. Before we do yours, Dave, if you could, I know because you sound like you're itching to get this one out, but there's some in from the comments. We've got Ollie Palmer can get in Rezzers. Mulling cupping his ears to our fans can get in the Rezzers. I thought that was a good shit hours read, but yeah, you can get in the Rezzers. This is a Gazendo contentious one. Grown men having their face painted at the football and getting the Rezzers. I think he means at the football, or does he just mean like, I don't know.
Oh, was it at the parade? Was it at the football or was it the parade?
Right. Okay. The Boonab says that chant about Paul Mullin's mum can get straight in Rezzers. Probably agree with you. I didn't hear it. Don't know what it is, but if it existed. And then Cy Lomas, grown adults changing their Facebook name and Twitter handles to first name, champions, last name can get in the Rezzers. So, Dave, go on. What's yours, mate?
Well, it's an obvious one, but the ref at Wrexham, I mean. Come on. Get in the Rezzer.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're going to get any kickback from that.
No, definitely not.
That's what I did say. He did have a great game, did he? And like you say, it was some of the decisions were like, you summed it up really well. Like you say, when he blows, you're thinking, oh, well, at least we've got the foul. And then he gives it the other way and think, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian Dowden's put forced friendships can get in the Rezzers. I don't know what that means. Really don't know what that means. Waggy, have you got anything for getting Rezzers?
Yes, I have. So this, I can't remember what game it was, but it was one of the, it was either the Champions League or it was Premier League. No, it was one of the cup games where they did a penalty shootout. And the commentators, every penalty that was saved, it's a shit penalty, that a fucking shit penalty. And then if they scored, it's like, oh, that's a superb penalty, that the best penalty ever. It's like, no, that's a load of crap. Because if the keeper goes the wrong way and saves it, it's not a shit penalty. He's gone the right way. You know what I mean? If you look at the Parenko or whatever it's called, if you do a Parenko and it comes off, it's the best penalty in the world. Panenka is the best penalty in the world. But if the keeper stands in the middle of the goal and you try doing that and he just goes dink, it's the worst penalty in the world. So it's not. It's the commentators saying it's a shit or a good penalty if the keeper saves it. I understand that if the player completely like skies it, then yes, that is a shit penalty.
Yeah, that is
a shit penalty. But the keeper saving a penalty does not mean it's a shit penalty.
No, this is true. This is true.
Yeah. Can get in the Rezzers.
Chris Crowther confirms it's Panenka. And I've got a thing about the Panenka, you know, because, and we might need to get this time checked if anybody fancies doing it. Didn't Danny Bergara do a video of that move before Panenka, or before it was named the Panenka? So I think it should be called the Bergara. Not the same, it doesn't really slip off the tongue. But I think I'm sure, and maybe Phil Brennan, if he's listening, there's a YouTube video of Danny Bergara doing that. Look it up on YouTube, and I'm sure it's before the Panenka, or at least maybe I'm dreaming and I'm hoping it is, and we can all start calling it the Bergara. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, we'll start calling it Bergara anyway, if ever one of our players does it.
yeah. It would have been just before or just after he was telling a player to be a half and halfy. Somewhere around there. I agree with that. Commentators comes up a lot on getting Rezzers, doesn't it? Because they come out as absolute waffle, don't they?
Well, like you say, I think the thing about pens is, like you say, sometimes the keepers don't get any credit yet. You know, the owners, you kind of think the advantage is with the striker.
You would have thought.
Dave, sometimes they'll say, oh, it's a bad penalty. Well, actually, sometimes a keeper deserves credit, doesn't he? Because, I mean, sometimes know, they dive full length and get, like say, if they guess right, and get, it's not an easy thing to do, but yeah, they can deserve credit. I totally agree with you. A bad penalty is missed for me is when you don't get it on target, but yeah. But you know, even then, I mean, it's easy to be critical, but there's a lot of pressure and everyone's human, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
But you know, yeah. Good players miss penalties, and you know, yeah. Louis Barry had a penalty, it didn't go in, but you know, doesn't make him a bad player, does it? I mean, I think we'd all be delighted if we can get Louis back on loan again next season. So I thought it was great seeing him back after his injury, and I thought after the, you know, in a couple of the games he started showing glimpses of what we saw and what we loved and why he was so.
Oh yeah, yeah, he scared the shit out of him.
Oh, highly rated.
Yeah. I've been corrected, and I've been rightly corrected as I do a lot on this show. I must come out with some right shit, you know, and then people must be going, "That's wrong." Honestly, over the years, whatever I've said, I apologize.
That's why you go through co-hosts.
It's what?
That's why you go through co-hosts.
Yeah. Ian Dowden and Dave Wright both said it's the Rabona, not the Panenka. The Panenka's the little chip, isn't it? From the penalty spot.
Ah, right. Okay.
The Rabona is what Bergara called the cross leg shot. So that's where you that's where you do it, your opposite foot. I can't demonstrate it. It's an audio podcast as well, so I wouldn't be. But look up the Bergara video.
Come on, we want to see you up on your arseless. Come on.
It wouldn't be good for the audio listeners. Otherwise, I would do it. Honestly, I would. But anyway, yeah. Look for the Danny Bergara cross-legged shot. It's a really good video, actually. He explains it. Right, my get in the rezzers agrees with Martin Elamir, actually. Generally, this isn't for Wrexham fans, but they're just the latest that have done it. And it's this culture on Twitter or X of having no picture, arguing a lot with like accounts like our podcast account, not really having a basis for your argument, and then just saying you know, something random like, I don't know, what do they say? Cry more, or they do the fish emoji. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that all that can get in the rezzers, because if you're not going to have a proper conversation about it, and you're just going to go cry more,
I've seen quite a few as well that have started it with saying I'm not looking for a bite, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say anyway to get a bite.
yeah, all that can get in the rezzers. I mean, I had somebody on the hook, or they had me on the hook, whichever way you look at it, on Saturday night, and it ended with them not saying it. Well, the last thing they said was you've had a mare, you've been bullied all over Twitter, and I just replied, grow up, you div, you've been bullied all over Twitter, come on, mate. It's that sort of stuff that can get in the rezzers for me. It makes you want to turn it off, really, and not get involved in it.
That's why I've signed out of Twitter for the next few days, because there's so many times where I was just like, just wanted to reply, and then it's just like, no, this is just what they want. It's just what they want. So it's like, turn it off, step away. I can enjoy myself without sitting there looking at my screen for 4 hours a day.
but to be fair, we do have our own accounts that do that, and we do have our own accounts that do get involved in the arguing back as well. They can all stay out of the rezzers and battle for county, but all the others can get in the rezzers. There we go.
Super.
Right, gents. I think we're just about done. One few things left to say. Cheers to everybody that supported us throughout the year and watched us listen to an audio podcast, especially the patrons. Obviously, you get all that content up front, ad free before everybody else. Cheers for that. We are going to carry on through the summer. We might take the odd week off here and there just to get our bearings. But obviously, we're here tonight. We are hopefully going to be back live in the County Arms, me and Waggy, with Dave Conlon. So we can ask him his thoughts about the end of the season and what's going to happen. And we're going to go through and do some England stuff as well, aren't we, Waggy? And get some other guests and things.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully we'll do some Courtyard Club calls. Still not quite decided on what that's going to be called. If it needs to be called anything else.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, we'll be going pretty much through the summer with county content. I think there's a retain list to talk about next anyway. Who's staying, who's going. We've got to talk about that.
There is a podcast out about that, a bonus podcast out where we sat for what was going to be an hour and ended up being an hour and a half discussing who's going to stay, who's getting another new contract, who we should get rid of, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, that has caused some interesting debate.
Take a bit of time, because obviously we've got a lot of players out of contract. And, yeah. You know, I think the one point I would make is you know, we're looking at players and saying, well, did he deserve a contract, or, you know, do you want to keep him? Are you not bothered or whatever? But sometimes what we don't see is what other players are maybe available.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I look back on certain players and you know, I think we all have our favourite players, and one of my favourite players I loved at the time, I think I still love watching him to this day, was Sam Minion. But, you know, when Sam left the club, and then you get McCauley, and I think most county fans would say, well, he's a better player. And then I think that becomes, you know, this is it's another dimension in when you're talking about, like, yeah, who do we keep it? Because that's something, well, you know, there might be an argument for keeping a player, but if there's another player available who's come down from, you know, played at first division or been in the championship, for example, and we, you know, as an example, I'm quite excited to see what Powell does next season. I think he's improved. He's shown at times in games he's got that class and he's got that ability. And I think, you know, because let's be fair, I mean, there's some players that have been with the club that have come with a big reputation, and it's took him a while to get. I think Callum Kent falls into that category of being an excellent player, but it's took him a while for us to see the best of him. And, you know, I just think that's another dimension, is not knowing who else is available. And, you know, there is a chance that some players may become available who will fit the team and, you know, could be better than what we actually have now. So, and that's not to, you know, put anybody down, because I think, like you say, I think Dave's telling us, I always mentioned it and said, like, every player has got a part to play. And we saw it, didn't we? The size of the squad was really, really needed. And most players got a chance and a lot of them stood up and delivered, which was fantastic to see. So, you know, I think we shouldn't lose track of the fact that the players that we've had and have at the club at the moment deserve all the recognition they're getting, and because it's been a fantastic season, fantastic effort, and something that we can all, we'll all look back on with pride for many years to come, won't we? You know, I mean, to go up as champions is to go up as, I thought, you know, if we can get promoted, even if it's a third, that will be job done. But to go up as champions is like win that trophy. That's a bit special, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think as fans though, it's we generally think more with our heart, don't we? As you say, it's like absolutely loved Sam Minion, and it was like, oh, you know, he needs to be given a chance. We can't get rid of him. But then, as you say, that next player comes in. So I think more as a fans, we tend to think with our hearts, whereas Simon Wilson and Challoner will be thinking with the heads, and they'll be looking.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. You know, because obviously, you know, there are things that you look for in players, and I think the thing was with Sam was he never, you could tell that every time he went out, he'd never give less than 100%, and that's something you can relate to, isn't it? It's like that lad goes out there and he gives his all, but that isn't to say that there are better players out there. And, you know, when he left, he ended up at Buxton or wherever he went, and the best of luck, because I think I look back very fondly on him, because the battles he got into. He was always 100% committed. But it is something that, you know, we don't always see. And like you say, there is an element of what that makes it the difficult part. Because like you say, these players that we've had this season have done a really good job for us. And yeah. we should always be, you know, respectful of that because they've come in and done the business. And, you know, that's what they were brought in to do. And they've delivered, which is exactly what we wanted. So something they can be proud of and we can be proud of as well. But, they were excellent to watch this season, County, and it's down to the players and Dave for organising them.
Yeah. Well said, well said, and good place to finish after that. So cheers to everybody. Cheers, Dave. Cheers, Waggy. We'll be back next week, and I've just heard or just seen that the ladies are 9-0 up now. So I think that cup's in the bag there.
I don't know how many minutes of injury time.
Superb stuff.
Good stuff. Right, cheers everybody. See you later.
Cheers, Ross.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.